It's your okay. We are going to have that song again, and we are going to all sing at the same time. Aren't we? We are, aren't we? Yes, absolutely. While David or George is organizing it, be at the ready. You look all ready. That's fine. Okay, carry on, folks. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Seated.
Do you know, we've just sung the most incredible words. Do we believe it? Do we really believe it? Do you really believe that you've been cleansed? That God loves you, that he's died for you, he's put you on a new path. I really believe that he's met with a lot of you over these last few days, and he's begun a new work in you. Take a hold of it. With everything in me, I encourage you not to go home and go back to where you were. We have the obligation to walk in what God's done. We really do. He's moved in your hearts and your spirits. And those words that we've sung are true. We are precious. Each one of us, we are so precious to God. You know, we're his lambs. He sent Jesus as our shepherd to guide us to the Father. Take a hold of it. Don't go home the same as you came. And it just would be so wonderful if those of you who feel that you can share a little bit about what is done to encourage us. You know, the Lord never stops working in me, and he never stops working in any of you. It's day by day that we change. It really is. It's a walk, and we're never going to be there until we get to glory anyway. And it's just take hold of those words. I just sort of feel it's so in my heart. You can do it with him. You take his hand. And that lovely word that we had last night, we stretch our hands and he takes them. He says, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. Don't draw back and think you're rubbish. You're not. None of you are. We are a work in, what's the phrase, in progress. And that's okay wherever we are. For all of us the same. So just take a hold of that. And please share. Please share what God's done. And we'll see what he does after the testimonies. I don't know. We'll have a time of worship before we go. But we'll see what he does. So encourage you. I pray an anointing on you all. And be brave and encourage us. Bless you.
Oh, last, come. That was Portuguese.
Is that Portuguese now? I just thought, you see, many of you will know that I'm used to speaking up the front. I hope you can understand me by now. Really, I really do hope you can understand me, because somebody said to somebody else, I couldn't really understand her. And I'm like, you're supposed to tell me. Then I will speak more slowly. I'll do my head in, but I'll speak more slowly. I just wanted to say, I've been on a wee journey in foundations. I came for Foundations 8. That was the first one I came for. And this is 11, so that's 8, 9, 10, 11. This is my fourth one, just so you know I can count as well. I can speak and I can count. There you go. But, you know, I'm seen as a strong woman. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine me being seen as a strong woman? And people quite often are frightened of me. Imagine that as well. God's changed me inside out. I can tell you that. You would have been frightened of me if you'd seen the old me. I tell you that much. I was frightened of me. It's God's grace, honestly. It really is God's grace. And, you know, I just wanted to say that God's been taking me on a journey recently, and it's not a very easy journey. And when I arrived here on Friday, I think it was Friday night, sometimes you didn't ken what day or night it is, do you? But when I arrived here on Friday and it started talking about weakness, I'm like, oh, here we go again, God. Literally. Because I am seen as a strong woman, but God has been taking me to cry in public, and I just don't do that. I just don't. See, when you're Scottish, my mum says to me at my granny's funeral, what are you greeting for? For a translation, why are you crying? This was my granny's funeral. This was my granny's funeral when she says, what are you crying for? I mean, really? It's a funeral. Come on. You're allowed to greet at a funeral. Greet is crying. Sorry, just to explain. So God's been taking me on this journey, and I don't like being vulnerable. I just don't like being vulnerable. I don't like sharing my heart. I don't like crying in public, or greeting is the good Scottish word. And I don't really like being taken out of my comfort zone. That's just the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And the other thing is, I didn't like being real with people. But I also didn't like when people say they're fine, because I know fine well they're no fine. You know, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. No, you're no. What's the real answer? So I want to encourage you today. I've been taken out of my comfort zone. Last year, I had a very, very sore knee and I could hardly walk. And yet, I felt God say to me, get up and dance. And I'm like, oh, really? I'm not a dancer, number one. Number two, I've got a really bad knee. Number three, I'm going to put everybody off and go the wrong way when they're all going the right way. And then folk will just be laughing because they'll say, look at that stupid wife, can't even get in step with everybody else. They're all going that way and I'm going that way. And I was like, but I did it. And this year, I've got a really, really bad elbow. And what I believe God was saying to do, get a flag and wave it. So I was waving a flag and I was like, oh, really? And also, I went to the prophetic art. Now, when I draw, I write what I've drawn, because you can't really see what I've drawn. So whenever there's something with words, that's generally, see here, death to the flesh. lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, yet alive in Yeshua, only in Jesus, can we say, I surrender all in our weakness? So I can't just draw a picture because you'll not understand it, so I've got to write what it means. I'm just a bit like that. But what I wanted to ask for your prayers was, I'm a single woman who's never been married, never had children, and who's not actually got a job at the moment. And I've been training to become a driving instructor, and I've passed part one and passed part two, but part three is really eluding me. It's one of these things where I've been really negated by man, and man has kind of told me I can't do this. But I believe I can do it, although I don't really believe that, otherwise I would just do it. But I have helped 14 people pass their test. But it's kind of like I'm stuck at the moment, and I'm really stuck, and I want to do ministry for God, and I want to be able to bless others and come to things like this. So I need to earn some money. So I would just be vulnerable and real with you guys, value your prayers, that I pass this part three. And if God's no want me to pass this part three, because it's been an almighty battle, 5 years of my life and thousands of pounds, then that God shows me how else I have to get some money, because I've got a house of my own and bills to pay. So I just wanted to be encouraged to say, let God take you out of your comfort zone, be vulnerable with each other, and don't be scared of coming up here and saying the wrong thing, because we might not understand. No, I'm not saying anything. No, seriously, just, you know, and again, do not leave here without getting prayer for somebody, if you need prayer for somebody, because we really don't want people going away saying, oh, I wish. Somebody came up to me at the coffee break there and said, oh, is it too late to get prayer? And I said, no, sit down and I'll pray for you right now. You know, it's never too late. Never too late. So that's it. Thank you, God. Praise God and be uncomfortable and be real. Amen.
Amen.
Do not go yet.
Don't
go yet.
I tried.
Father, we thank you for your strong woman. But at the moment, the strength is a bit webby away, isn't it? But when you're weak, so Lord, please be very strong. And may Jackie hear your voice loud and clear as to the direction you want her to go. And may she be vulnerable to any way that you have that might be out of her comfort zone. And Lord, please heal her body. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
And Father, I just want to pray too that as Jackie's asked, that you give her what she needs to be able to pass this exam. Father, just maybe we could stretch our hands out to her and just pray for her. Father, we just pray that you enable her. Because Jackie, the word of God says there's nothing that is impossible. And doing it in his strength, with his hands over your hands. Father, we pray success to the work of your hands. In Jesus' name, we pray success to the work of your hands. And that God will give you the desires of your heart. Because you seek him with all your heart. Bless you, dear sister. Be encouraged. And go in faith. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Next.
Oh, they're all jumping together. That's amazing.
Why I done that was when David was approaching Goliath, I believe he didn't hang about. He got there, came out of his comfort zone, you know. So the Lord is sort of, I remember, well, talking to people about that, you know, but it's stuck in my head ever since, and that's come back maybe 30 years ago, you know. But, oh, don't always do it. In my everyday life, sometimes I hedge my bets, like us all, you know. And Jackie was sharing about, you know, she was saying about different things. Or one particular thing she was saying, it struck me. I thought myself, we're all like that, you know what I mean? But, you know, I just can't remember. But get back to, you know, the few days that I spent here. You know, I found that it was lots of people. Well, we all got to know, lots of us got to know each other, you know what I mean? And I believe that's a preparation for, you know, when we go back home. The Lord wants us to kind of, you know, meet all these people, these non-Christians and whatever, these hard sort of people or whatever kind of people they are, and run and not be afraid and kind of, you know, just don't be thinking about, oh, I can't do this, can't do that. And that's our favorite, that's my favorite thing. I can't do that, you know what I mean? I think a lot of folk can, you know, and, but anyway, I'll not go to, I'll let somebody else get a chance, you know. I'll leave it there. I have so much more to say, but whatever, you know.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I must say, you look very young. Remember when he said, you know, David didn't waste any time. He ran to Goliath. And he said, and then he said, I remember it. Yeah, keep up in the back. Okay. Next. Go on. Oh, yeah, all right. There you
go. Okay, so I'm up here now. 5 years ago, I felt very blessed to be part of a lovely fellowship. I'd felt quite disillusioned before that, but they embraced me, they nurtured me, they loved me. And in that, I grew. And our ministry has grown out of that. It's taken time, but it's growing, and it's growing, and it's going deeper and deeper. And it's a ministry of building, encouraging, and strengthening people, and offering them quiet spaces, quiet garden, retreats now. And I've now started doing retreats. That's the next level. It just takes me further and deeper. More obedient I am, the deeper he takes me. And I came away here and with quite an open mind, thinking, well, I have my ministry. What next? What's this all about? And yesterday morning I prayed, Father, why am I here? And then the day just fell into blessings. I first of all met Elizabeth at breakfast time, and we realised that we were kindred spirits and we could encourage each other, because it's quite a lonely ministry out there when you're being, you know, being prophetic, etc. It's a lonely ministry, and it's easy to feel, you know, you're not doing the right thing and to think that's not what God is saying to you. So we agree, we've already exchanged, and we're going to encourage each other. And then it was meeting this wonderful dance team, and I felt so loved and blessed and safe and comfortable. And they have encouraged me, and it was running with the Spirit, and that's what he was bringing me here for. So I've done prophetic painting, and it's, well, I've done it. I didn't think I was going to do it, but it happened, and I can take that to my retreat. I'm going to use it. And I made a flower with Monica at the back there, and I'm going to take that to my retreat. There we're going to have one afternoon where we're going to do more spirit-led things. And then the culmination was last night when they embraced me into that dancing. And I've done something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and I stood there in that group, and I was able to sing in the Spirit, and that was wonderful. And I could cry now, really, because I am feeling really quite weepy with the Spirit right now. So I'll just say thank you, because you are family, and I feel it, and you've embraced me, and it's wonderful, and I think I'll come back. I will be coming back. Bless you all.
Thank you. Praise God. Fantastic. Next. There.
Hello. Well, I'd just like to take... Oh, hello. I'm not used to microphones. Well, I'd just really like to take this opportunity to... I'd just like to take this opportunity again to say thank you. I came a few years ago with George, and I really wasn't terribly well. I suffer with bipolar, and every time I seemed to go away on holiday, I'd become really unwell and struggle dreadfully. And so for me, the last time I came here, I was very unwell. This would have been the last place I would be able to share how I really felt, because I would have felt unable to be my real self, because I'd be afraid people would be judgmental or not accept me as I am. So it's taken me a long time to realise that the Lord Jesus does accept me as I am, with my history and all. And I think it's important to share that we need to be real, because there are people we meet in our lives who might not know Jesus. And if we're not real and compassionate and be transparent about our lives and maybe our histories, I don't think they'll see Jesus in us. Now, I have been married twice before, and I'm married to a wonderful man, George, who loves me with all my history. And I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus does love me too. But I didn't know that for a very long time. I felt totally condemned. And the way Jesus really gets through to us is when we're real. And it's no good saying, sorry, 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 God, because it's not going to work. You've got to know that you're sorry, and you've got to repent, and you've got to believe the Lord will forgive you, and you don't have to keep saying it over and over again, because all you do is beat yourself up. And it's no witness, is it? Bless you. So I cannot really express my thanks enough for this weekend, because it's talking about people, about us actually being weak. Actually, I think I know from personal experience that the times when I've literally just got down on my knees and said, God, I cannot, I don't know how to get through the next minute, never mind the next hour, he has wonderfully come to my rescue. And I've had lots of prayer for healing of late. And, I just know... I'm healed. I mean, obviously, I'm still on a journey, and I'm still under a specialist, and, you know, my meds have been sort of rejigged a bit. But humanly speaking, without the healing from God, then maybe at this point in my life, because I'm having to decrease one medication that was making me very unwell, actually, that humanly speaking, this time, this being on this dose, could make you very unwell, and it hasn't. And so, you know, you say a big thank you, really. So really, you know, the conference is wonderful, and I cannot thank any of you, well, you know, all of you enough, and especially for, obviously, all the speakers, but especially for Steve and Monica. I cannot imagine the hard work and preparation goes in. As you know, I've done some flower workshops, and wow, you know, hours and hours and hours of preparation goes into that. So I think we are incredibly blessed. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
It was he who created flower buds to open up. Be blessed. Come, quick. We want to get as many in as possible. There you go.
I just want to thank the Lord for bringing me here to my very first Foundations conference. And when I walked in to the haze, I felt an instant sense of belonging, a sense of coming home, a sense that I was part of a very precious family. And I really thank God for that. But it actually reminds me of the first time I came here to the haze, which was in 1977, and I came with the church that I was part of in my hometown of Derby, just down the road. But that in itself is a miracle, because in 1975, on Christmas Day 1975, I sat down to kill myself. And I was quite literally in the middle of a suicide attempt. I had taken several tablets. I'd written a note, prepared everything very carefully. I was living in a hostel for unmarried mothers in Red Light District of Derby. I just didn't think I'd got anything to live for, so I sat down to kill myself. I got a bottle of 50 paracetamol tablets, and I started to take them. I took two tablets. There was a ringing on the doorbell. I ignored it. I didn't think it could be for me because everybody else in the hostel had gone home to their families for Christmas and I was alone with my baby. But the doorbell continued to ring. I ignored it, took two more tablets. It rung again. I took two more tablets, six, it rung again. By that time, I was completely and totally fed up. I thought, can I not even kill myself in peace? So I went to my friend's room, which was on the first floor, overlooking the front door. I just went to her room, and I could see there was a figure standing on the steps, but I couldn't see who it was. So I just opened her window and shouted at the person to go away, but I didn't put it very politely. Anyway, the person just stood there and said they had no intention of going anywhere until I came down and let them in. And I was so astonished and amazed when I heard the voice speaking to me that I nearly collapsed in shock, and completely and totally forgetting about my suicide attempt, I ran down the stairs to let the person in. It was none other than an old school friend, Maggie, who I hadn't seen for years and years. Well, she was actually expelled from the private school we both attended in Derby for bad behaviour. But anyway, that was then. But here she was standing on my doorstep, and I just looked at her. I mean, there was just something about... I mean, there was a light. There was this light shining out of her, and a peace, a radiance about her. I couldn't describe it. And she said, "Aren't you going to come let me in then?" And I let her in. I took her upstairs, and I said, "Sit down." And she actually sat down in a chair next to the table where there were my tablets, the suicide note and the glass. And I knew she'd seen them, but she didn't say anything. She just said, "We've got so much to catch up on." She said, "Sit opposite me." So I sat on the bed, and she began to... I was just looking at her, and I just said, "Maggie, something amazing has happened to you." And she said, "Yes, it has." She said, "I've come to know the Lord." And I just looked at her and I said, "What do you mean you've come to know the Lord? Do you mean Lord Beaverbrook, who owns the Derby Evening Telegraph?" And she said, "No, I don't mean him," she said. "I mean I've come to know the Lord Jesus as my Lord and my Saviour." She said, "I've been born again." And I said, "What do you mean, Maggie? That's a physical impossibility." And then she explained to me without the Christian terminology. But I could see the proof standing there and there in front of me. And from then onwards, she became such an integral part of my life. She always used to talk about the Lord, and she used to invite me to her church, but I didn't go. But in the next few weeks, I kept bumping into old friends in town, and they had this same look as Maggie had. They'd been born again, and they kept inviting me to the church. Well, I did go eventually. And then it was through that church that I came to be here at the Hayes in 1977. It was our parish weekend away, and I came here, heard the most wonderful speaker, who dear Chris Hill knew as well, but he's brought me back here to the Hayes in such wonderful circumstances, when really I shouldn't have been here without the Lord's intervention. And I just want to thank him for all that he's done. And I also just want to share something. Some of us were praying earlier in the room over there. And the Lord just gave me a picture of the stone walls that they have here in Derbyshire. You will have seen them. And the Lord was saying some of us had put up stone walls of protection, but he himself had come along and he'd taken each and every stone down, and he stood at the other side of the wall, except that the wall was no longer there. And he was just reaching out like that. And he was saying, come, my child, for I love you. You are so precious in my sight. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And then that person just stepped over and he clasped them to his bosom like that, with his all-surrounding, all-encompassing love. And he just wants to say that he has loved each and every one of you with an everlasting love. And he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He is with you and he will be with you always.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, it's just so wonderful that you can take us from the pit and you bring us up into your arms, into a place of safety. Lord, I thank you so much for what you've done in Sally's life. Father, thank you that even today, you use her greatly to bring scripture and your word to people across the land. And Father, thank you that I personally have been encouraged. At the moment when I've needed it, that word has come. Father, you chose Sally. You chose her to be part of our family. How blessed we are. We're so grateful that you're part of our family. Thank you, Father, for bringing Sally to be part of our family. Oh, thank you for that amazing, amazing testimony. And look what he's done. Look what he's done. Because that's what God does. You can just rejoice in that. And he's done that for so many of us. Bless you. Bless you so much.
Thank you. I'm sure somebody can follow that. Go on. Yes. Try and make it concise as possible.
I will. I don't know whether you've gathered or not whilst you've been here that God has a plan and a purpose. I came here for a quiet weekend. Away from all the stress of my family life, away from moving from a church I've been to for 27 years and trying to fit in somewhere. And, well, here I am. And this is my family. And I feel totally accepted. Thank you. Thank you for two ladies here that helped me. I didn't expect to give a word from God, because I haven't done for a while, so that's why I came for a nice quiet weekend. But he had a plan and a purpose, and I think for a lot of us that are here, this plan and this purpose is just beginning. I'm coming up 73 years old. I feel like I've been reborn again whilst I've been here. I said to somebody I found Israel, and they said we didn't know it was lost. And I said, but it was to me, because although I've been a believer for 40-something years, I've never thought about Israel much until this last year. I can't wait to go home. I'm not one who researches. I can't wait to go home and research. I can't wait to go to Israel. I'm going to take equity out of my house, and I'm going to go to Israel. Right? I don't have a lot of money, but I'm going, because I know God wants me to go. And this is the plan and the purpose. And it can't just be for me. So, you know, I think it's for everybody. And I just praise the Lord and thank you for all of you. You've made me feel so welcome. Bless you.
Bless you. You are welcome. Thank you.
This is really hard because it's really difficult to acknowledge your weakness. But first morning at the prayer meeting, and I can't remember who it was that said it, because obviously we'd got our eyes closed and we were praying. And it was a gentleman. He prayed about habitual sin. And I had, I've got to say had, and a habitual sin. And I know that at times I was clear of it. I would repent of it and I would be clear of it and then it would come back. And I was quite deliberate in it as well. But I want to encourage the gentleman, and I don't know who it was, that's giving away bags of books. But I received a bag, this book, and I don't even know what it was called. But I sat in bed one night, and while I was here, I can't remember which night it was, and read a chapter in this because I'd looked through the index, and there was a chapter in there about, you know, familial things. And it revealed to me that there was a root to this habitual sin, and it came from our father. And I was able to get on my knees and repent of it there and then. And I really feel now that I'm totally clear and clean and free. And I believe that it's gone forever and I've been forgiven and there's no condemnation. And I'd just like to say, as well as thank you, Lord, for that and for dying on the cross for me so that was even possible, but thank you all for being so wonderful and such lovely friends. I've not met most of you before, but you're all great, and thank you.
You probably know this, but I'll just remind you. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Walk in it.
Well, although I'm not Scots, I can quite understand all Jackie says, because I come from the Northeast. And up there we say, "Howay, man." Right, really, we've been to numerous foundations. We've always enjoyed them, and I love being in the dance, even though I'm an old lady. Because, you know, you're as young as you feel, and I don't really feel old. So there you go. I don't look it, do I? Well, anyway, the challenge for me was this morning when the alarm went off. I was almost ready to be late for the prayer meeting. It was about 7:30. My husband was on the toilet. And I thought, oh dear, will he ever get out? Then I just thought to myself, well, it's a test, you know. They're having us on this morning. They're just testing. And it reminded me of a verse in the Bible, which I was sure was in Peter, one of the Peters. I went right through Peter 1, Peter 2, couldn't find it. And I thought, well, where is it? It must be near the end somewhere. Anyway, I was sat having my coffee. And usually what I do, if I can't find anything, I just Google it. But I just forgot to do it. And Malcolm said to me, why don't you Google it? So I said, right, I'll do that. And I found it. It was in Jude, because there's a lot about fire in Peter. 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And I thought it must be in Peter. Anyway, it was in Jude. This is the verse, which has challenged me a big lot this morning. Right. And you must indeed habitually show mercy on those who doubt. But save others as you snatch them from the fire. And on others have mercy in fear, hating even the tunic that has been stained by the flesh. That's really challenged me, because I've got loads of people on my heart that I think, will I ever get through to them? But you know, it is the Holy Spirit that gets through to them. It's not me. And we can talk our heads off, but unless God moves by his Spirit, it doesn't happen. And I just know that in my weakness, the Holy Spirit is able, and he does. I'm doing a little Ginny at the moment. I go usually by myself because I'm going shopping and Keith doesn't like shopping. So I go to Exeter, and anybody that's sitting around, you know, homeless or whatever, I try and talk to them. And I ran out of all my leaflets, but Ginny gave me some cards, you know, free gift, stuff like that. So if and when I get opportunity, this is what I do. I talk to them and say, well, look, you know, would you like to read this, you know, if you're in need? And most people accept it, you know. I don't know what happens after that. That's down to God, isn't it? But I just feel that for me, I feel very weak sometimes. I felt really weak on the day we did foundations. I always feel weak when I'm at the front. So I just have to let God take over, don't I? And he usually comes up. So thank you for a lovely weekend, and hope to see you at Sidhome. It's lovely down there.
It is. Bless you. Thank you. All right. Kim.
Thank you. It's not a testimony about this weekend, but it's an email I received a few days ago. So a few of you may have seen it if you sign up to Prophecy Today or Barnabas Fund. And this story has been verified, and it's really exciting. A group of 500 Nigerian Muslim background Christians who gathered together for safety after a string of Boko Haram attacks were later attacked again by the Islamist militant group. Most escaped, apart from 76 men, women, and children who were taken captive, according to a Barnabas Fund contact. The 76 were taken to a Boko Haram terrorist camp where they were tortured. The four male leaders of the group were told at gunpoint to renounce their faith in Christ and revert to Islam. When they refused, holding fast to their savior, their men were shot in front of their families and friends. The following week, the wives of the four martyred men were also ordered to renounce their faith or their children would be executed. As the mothers struggled under this terrible burden into the night, the children came running in and said that the Lord Jesus had appeared to them and all would be well. According to the account, the Lord Jesus then appeared to all of the group and told them not to fear, that he would protect them. They should not renounce him but stay strong, knowing that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The next morning, the children, one a girl as young as four, were lined up against a wall by the terrorists, and their four mothers were told that they could save them if they renounced Jesus Christ and returned to Islam. Their mothers refused. The soldiers cocked their rifles and prepared to take aim when they suddenly started to grab at their heads, screaming and shouting, "Snakes, snakes!" Some ran away and others dropped dead where they stood. As one of the soldiers fell down dead, a Christian captive reached down to pick up the soldier's gun to fire at the fleeing Boko Haram militants, but the youngest child put her hand on his arm and said, "You don't need to do that. Can you not see the men in white fighting for us?" All 72 lives were spared, and the group is now living in other regions of Nigeria that are safe for Christians. When our English-speaking contact asked their pastor why Jesus appeared to them and not to others, he replied, "He doesn't need to. You have over 200 versions of scripture and many people able to explain the Bible to you. These people do not." It's an amazing story, wonderful, but the thing that got me most was the last bit. We have God's word. We may hopefully never find ourselves in a situation like that, but there will be times when we go, "Where are you, Lord?" And he's saying, "You've got my word. You know, I've already promised you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid, do not fear. I go before you, behind you, beside you." It's really encouraging, isn't it?
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
This is our first foundations, and we've been very, very happy so far. Food is good, fellowship's great, and the scripture teachings and discussions have been amazing. But I just wanted to encourage you all, I was listening to Jose this morning, about giving to Israel. And about 5 years ago, we made a decision to start sowing into the land and ministries out there. And it actually transformed our lives, not just our finances, but everything else as well. And we didn't know where to begin, so we just looked up on Google some ministries, and we started giving to various places. And now when we go out there, there is ministries we are established with that we can go and see them. And there's really a strong bond with the local people in the land. And so I want to encourage you to start off small and begin to sow into the land, into the people, because the Jews need the gospel. They need Christ. And the Bible says that we must show them kindness. And when we extend kindness to them, it'll help to bring them in and draw their hearts to the Lord, because they can't understand why we are out there. Why do we show them kindness? What are we doing in the land? But when we do, it's a testimony to them and provoke them to come to the Lord, which is what the aim is. So I just want to encourage all of you to give. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. The Abrahamic covenant is eternal. We'll have time for one more.
Thank you. The blessing of free books is wonderful. I get told to do it by my boss, George Verwer, every time I'm coming to a conference. So it's wonderful to hear that they impact lives. If there is someone who actually hasn't had any free books, I struggle, because sometimes I come up to people once or twice and they say, oh, you've already given me some. But if there is someone who hasn't had any free books, there are still some on the table in our little room there. I'm in there with Barnabas. You know, the OM table is at the back. But I would love to give you some. There is also books in there that are available, say, for about £1 each, which just says donation on the table. And along with people like Steve Maltz, I go back and there's actually not very much money in the donation box. But if you want a book for £1, that is absolutely fantastic, you know. And there's even some books there for children that we don't always have. So if you want some of those as well, any donation is absolutely fantastic. And there's worship music CDs as well, and that are also £1. The other thing I just want to say, thank you for last night. It was a tremendous healing experience, and I think a lot of you have kind of been blessed through it as well, because your words of encouragement to me were just fantastic. So praise the Lord. Thank you for all of that. God bless you.
Thank you. Bless you. Right.
You make it quick. Yeah.
Okay. I'll make it very quick. I mentioned yesterday, and only I think half of you were here, that one of the ways I try to bless and have blessed the Jewish people over the last 30 years is sending clothes through Olive Grove projects. Some ladies at my Lydia started that years ago. And so I'm out of church just at the moment. And so I wonder if any of you have any clothes. If you're coming to Sid Home next time at the end of this year, could you bring them, please? And then I can coordinate the whole lot, take them up to Wellington, and then they can go over to Jerusalem to the distribution centre there. That would be absolutely great. But just to say, this time they've changed. Instead of winter clothes in winter, they're doing summer clothes in winter. So if you could sort out your summer clothes, wash them, please, iron them if you can, and no bobbles on jumpers or anything like that, I would collect them and take them back home and get them out to the right people. Thank you very much. Yeah, okay. All right. That's lovely. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I believe God's given me this passage for us to send us on our way. It comes from the book of Romans in the chapter 15, and it says this: we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give us a spirit of unity among ourselves as we follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted us, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jew on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name." Again it says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples." And again Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him." May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Amen.